We want to focus our attention this evening on the last part of verse 5 in this chapter. It is a little phrase, but just so deep, so wide, so eternal. And it's the last words, "With his wounds we are healed." There's been a lot of research done over recent years into what is commonly called the father wound. This is a phenomenon that is being explored by various psychologists and counselors, teachers, pastors. So they try to figure out why there is such a wide-scale problem amongst especially young people, but not just young people. A low self-esteem, a deep emotional pain, and a sense that they're just not enough, that they have to just keep doing and doing and doing, a kind of performance-itis. Now, a lot of this is being traced back to this father wound, meaning the absence of a father, or the neglect by a father, or abuse by a father. There seems to be very close connections between a father and the emotional, mental, psychological well-being of children. And it makes us think also, though, of the spiritual father wound. The wound that we can have as a result of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But in this case, the fault does not lie on the side of our perfect Heavenly Father. It's not a lack of fatherhood. It's not a neglectful fatherhood. It's not an absent fatherhood. It's not an abusive fatherhood. The problem lies entirely on the children's side. And by pushing away our Father, by neglecting our Father, by rejecting our Heavenly Father, we inflict wounds on ourselves. Wounds that lead to all sorts of problems psychologically, emotionally, morally. And indeed to performance-itis at times, that we have to just keep doing and doing and being to have any hope of having a relationship with our Father. And so we want to ask this question this evening: how can someone's wounds heal ours? Because in Isaiah, the prophet points to wounds that heal our wounds. So we think of yes, these father wounds in respect to our Heavenly Father, father wounds even in terms of earthly fatherhood. How can we get healing? And Isaiah points us to the wounds of Christ, his wounds prophesied in this verse: with his wounds we are healed. Someone who was wounded to heal us. How can that happen? How can someone's wounds heal our wounds? As we want to explore for a few moments here this evening, we want to notice, first of all, Jesus suffered wounds. It's speaking of him here, isn't it? It says in verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed. So let's just pause and think a moment or two about what it actually means that Jesus was wounded. He was, of course, wounded in his whole body. He was whipped and he was scourged, left with deep wounds as a result of the cruel Roman scourging, which is really indescribable. And therefore, I don't want to go into all the details here this evening, because it really is grotesque. But it wasn't just his body that was wounded, his eyes were wounded. You know, sometimes we see a sight and we can hardly look at it. It's so awful. And we turn our eyes away from it or close our eyes and try and block out the sight. It might be a little child with a broken arm or leg or an older person who's dying with terminal cancer or something like that. We can hardly look at it. And if that's our response when our unholy eyes see suffering, how much more did Christ's tender, sensitive eyes feel pain? How much were they wounded by not just seeing suffering, but seeing the sin that caused it as well? He was wounded in his eyes. He was also wounded in his ears. You know, you think of earache, one of the worst pains maybe next to toothache. But his ears suffer something far worse than earache. His ears suffered slander and blasphemy, which hurt him and pained him more than any perforated eardrum or earache. His ears were wounded just by living in this world, just by hearing what is normally heard. And of course, very much, even being called a devil. Imagine how that must have hurt his holy ears. He was also wounded in his mind. I was listening to a podcast recently with a philosopher and a very proud man. And he was explaining how painful it is for him to listen to most ordinary people, because he is so logical, he is so wise, he is so rational, and he said it's just like it breaks him to hear the irrational, foolish, ignorant talk of ordinary people like you and I. And although that's a sinful response, if you think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he had perfect knowledge. He had perfect rationality. He had perfect logic, far greater than any philosopher. And to see the folly of the human race, it didn't make him look down on us. In fact, it brought him down to us in sympathy and empathy and compassion. But it was wounding to see those that he had created perfectly originally in such a mess in their thinking. He was wounded in his heart as he felt the pain of his love being repaid with hatred, his compassion being repaid with malice. That beautiful, massive, loving heart experiencing a world of hate and a whole hell of hate against him. He was wounded in his spirit, especially that sense of abandonment by his father. You want to talk about a father wound? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus suffered wounds. How do we respond to these wounds? Well, I think we're invited by this verse to calculate the worth of these wounds, to calculate the value of these wounds. You know, if you see you catch a fish and it's a wounded fish, it's got a disease or something, you feel a little bit of pity. But if you see a child with a deep wound, a bleeding cut, that really moves you, doesn't it? It's got a lot more value and worth. And so we want to ask ourselves, how much worth was in these wounds? What price would you place on these wounds on Christ, in his body, his eyes, his ears, his mind, his heart, his soul? Well, some people focus on the amount of suffering that he suffered. And there's no question, he suffered massively. And that does give a value. It wasn't just one wound, it was multiple wounds. It wasn't just one part of him that was wounded, it was every single part of him. Not one part was left unwounded. But that's not the primary source of the value. There have been others who have suffered greatly in their bodies, even for the faith. No, what gives the wounds of Christ their value is not how much he suffered, but who it was that suffered. It's not so much the what or the how, but the who that gives these wounds their value. This is not just a son. This is the eternal Son, the infinite Son, the divine Son. With his wounds, we are healed. And that changes everything, doesn't it? For myself, I find it really hard to look at pictures of like surgeries, and that's not great when you're married to a doctor, because they come up to you and they say, you know, look at this, and I just can't look at it. And it almost makes me pass out, I would say, at times. So I don't even look at it. I can't look at wounds. In fact, when I was trying to find the various pictures for this, it was just awful at times seeing, when you put a search in for wounds in Canva, you don't want to see that. I can't look at wounds, but I can't look away from these wounds. I can't look away from these wounds. These wounds are so precious. They are so valuable. And I was trying to figure out, why is that? And it came to me as we were singing the song earlier. It's because the believer sees their name written in the wounds, don't we? That's what makes these wounds so valuable, so worthy, so attractive, so beautiful to us. That's why we cannot look away. Because we see that with his wounds, we are healed. Or to sum up this, the worth of the wounds is the worth of the wounded. The worth of the wounds is the worth of the wounded. And so that little word, his wounds, that makes all the difference. And that his wounds heal us, that too makes a world of difference. We can't look away from them. Jesus suffered wounds. But we want to see, secondly, what was the point of them? We've touched on it, but let's just focus on it. He didn't just suffer wounds, he heals with wounds. Jesus heals with wounds. He heals our wounds. Now, just think of wounds in three tenses: our past wounds, our present wounds, and our future wounds. Our past wounds are really referring to our record, the sin-stained path of life that we've led. And Isaiah refers to it in the first chapter of his prophecy, in Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 6, he says, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in us, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. Here he's depicting an unsaved sinner. A sinner without hope, a sinner without a savior, has a record of wounding, a record of sinning against himself, herself, but above all against God. So there are past wounds, but there are also present wounds. Even if we can try and ignore the amount of moral wounding we've done and inflicted on ourselves, there are wounds that continue. Every sin inflicts damage on us. It's not just on our record, but on our person. And there's no one here no matter how saved and sanctified, that can deny this. I have wounds. You have wounds. We've wounded ourselves. We bear the marks of our lives, through much of our lives. We have memories we wish we could blot out. We may even have physical scars as a result of our sin. We may have built up through our lifestyles a future disease that will take us. Sin wounds us in the present. But also, there are future wounds. If our wounds, past and present, go unhealed, the Bible tells us that there are even worse wounds ahead. Eternal wounds inflicted by a just God in hell forever. If we die unhealed, then we will never be healed. And so we ask, how does Jesus heal our past, present, and future wounds? Well, he does it, first of all, for our past. He atones for it. He wipes out that record. He with his blood, he wipes away everything. His wounds heal our record, our guilt. And then we think of his work in the present, that by his Spirit, as he applies his salvation to our lives, there's often even a physical healing that takes place. He begins to heal our minds and our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our souls, so that the spiritual damage we've done to ourselves can be reduced, if not removed. And he promises to heal us forever and fully in the future. These wounds blot out the past, repair us in the present, and perfect us in the future. With his wounds, we are healed. Jesus heals with wounds. Maybe you can think of it like this. So just imagine this scenario. There's a criminal. He's spent these past 24 hours just sinning terribly, ended up in a shootout. He gets himself to urgent care. And he walks in, he's bruised, he's covered in blood, he's got holes in him from bullets, he's hemorrhaging internally, there's very little life left in him. They place him on a bed and they examine him, and the doctors and nurses look at one another and they realize there's nothing they can do. As they look at his wounds and as they assess his condition, they realize it's over, the end. But just at that point, the king of the country walks into the hospital. The king whose laws this man has broken. And this king walks into ER and he comes up to the doctors and nurses and says, "Bring me an operating table." They bring in an operating table because he's the king. And then he says, "Get me ready for surgery." And, well, they get him ready for surgery because he's the king and they obey his commands. And they say, "Now wheel me over beside this wounded man, this dying man." And so they wheel him over. And he says to them, "Right, now I want you to look at him, and every single wound he has, I want you to inflict on me." And the doctors and nurses look at one another and say, "Well, we can't do that. We're doctors and nurses. We've taken the Hippocratic Oath. We do no harm." "No," he says, "this will not do harm. This will do a lot of good. Trust me. Believe me. And remember, I'm the king. So you better do what you're commanded." So sure enough, they look at each wound and they take their instruments of healing and use them to inflict this pain and wounding on the king. And as they do so, as they put a wound in his leg, they notice that the wound in the dying man's leg is healed. And then as they take out the king's eye, they notice that the socket without an eye suddenly has an eye in it. And as the king's breath gradually fades over the coming hour, they notice the breath in the dying man is resurrecting and coming back. Until eventually the king dies, and this man walks, stands up from this bed and walks with rejoicing. The king's wounds have healed this man's wounds. And as they're looking at this with utter astonishment, they begin to hear songs and laughter and joy coming from every corridor of the hospital. And they stick their heads out of the operating theater, and they're seeing people dancing and rejoicing. And they're going, what's going on? And as they ask questions and get answers, they're told that over the last hour, every single person in that hospital has been healed. As this king was wounded, all these people were healed. Well, of course, it's impossible, isn't it? It's a lovely story. But just a story. If only this was possible. Well, Isaiah says, it's not only possible, it's done. It's done. With his wounds, we are healed. That's our hope, isn't it? That's it. That's heaven right there. We can sum it up like this. Christ was wounded by his Father to heal our father wound. You want to repair your relationship with your heavenly Father? Or in fact, if you want healing in any kind of spiritual way, here's the medicine, the wounds of the Savior. Christ was wounded by his Father to heal our father wound, to bring us to God, to make that a happy and a holy relationship, a full and a forever relationship. So we go back to our question, don't we? How can someone's wounds heal ours? How can someone's wounds heal ours? And here is Isaiah's wonderful answer. Use the Father's wounding of his Son to heal his sons and daughters. Where else can you go to get such a healing but the wounds of Christ? Can you see your name written in them? Can you see him wounded for you personally? Only faith can see that. But faith can see it. And faith does see it. And once faith sees it, faith can never look away from it. These are the most blessed and beautiful wounds that you can ever see. And they get more and more beautiful as you go through life. And they will get more and more beautiful as we go through eternity. His wounds, yet visible above, in glory glorified. Glorified wounds. Healing wounds for our healing. Let's pray.